Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. You're watching Crossing the Spotlight, and Doc is in the studio. We're going to be discussing an important subject today. Now, I know I say that every week, but every week it seems like it gets more important. And we're going to be discussing Genesis 6, further consideration, further thoughts, a closer look at Genesis 6. And we're going to start off the program, as soon as I bring Doc in, with the blood. Where does the blood of the baby in the womb of the mother, where does it come from? Some of you are going to be shocked today in the program. This is important stuff. This shuts the door on the Nephilim stuff, I'm telling you. They have no answers for this. This will throw the book out on this Nephilim nonsense that's out there. But before we do, she's going to put up a book for you. My UFO book here. By the way, what a great cover. My wife did the cover. Isn't that a great cover? And it's called Truth or Fable, UFOs, Truth or Fable. So it's not a big book. It's 24 pages. You can read that in 20 minutes probably. And it's going to give you some insight because you know what just happened. As of the 20th of February, when I'm recording this, I know it's going to be probably March when it actually airs. But as of the 20th or the 19th of February, President Trump signed an executive order or something. He declassified all this UFO stuff. And there's already people are swarming, and I know what's coming. The prophecy guys, all the prophecy networks and TV shows, all the YouTubers, everyone's going to be talking about Nephilim again and flying saucers with angels in them and all this nonsense. It's nonsense. I'll prove that to you in the book if you'll get it. And I'll show you where most of the sightings have happened, all the way back to 1947, Roswell, and other places. I'll show you why. I'll show you what's going on. I'll show you what I believe these sightings really are. And it's all interconnected. The only reason I bring this up, it's all interconnected to the fallen angels, the Genesis 6 controversy. I've said it 100 times. If a wrong understanding of Genesis 6 leads to a lot of problems later on in the Bible, and boy, we're seeing it. Okay? So, I'm going to bring Doc in. We're going to talk about the blood. We're going to talk about some things about Genesis 6, why people are wrong about their interpretation of sons of God. We're going to hit it all. We're going to hit it fast. And all right, so get you a glass of water, get some ice, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome everybody. Doc is here with us. I'm Brother Goodwin, Dr. Hiltebiddle, and we're going to hit this fast, friends, because this stuff is just, every week it's worse. I'm seeing it on the news now. I forget the guy's name. I probably wouldn't mention his name anyway, but the Liberty Daily that I look at many times a day, they put up an article about some of this stuff.
Oh, I see it all the time.
And the secular people are putting this stuff on now.
Oh, yes.
Because it's exciting to people.
It's sensational.
It is. Sensationalism. Yep. Not a bit of facts. I'll go on. Bring me on your program. I'll come on. I'll debate interviews. I don't care. You name the place. You name the station. I'll come on. Doc maybe will too if he wants. But I have studied this. I think one of the most important books on the subject is right there. Get it. If you don't have it, she'll put that up later. And so we're going to talk about the sons of God. Let me read a verse or two, Doc, and then we'll jump into this. It came to pass, this is Genesis 6, came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Now, there's the context.
Yeah.
There's the context. Context, context. What
Absolutely.
Is the context here?
Yes.
Men began to multiply. I underlined it here.
That's
it
right.
Came to pass. Men began to multiply on the face of the earth.
Right.
And daughters were born unto them. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. That's important. There were giants right now at the writing of this. There were giants in the earth in those days. What days?
Yeah.
When men began to multiply. Then look what it says next.
Yep.
And also after that.
Yep.
Okay, so the giants did not come from this union of sons of God and daughters of men. It's very plain, context, context, context. The giants already existed.
That's right.
Then he says, and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and giants were born unto them. Wait a minute. That's not what it says. I've heard them on television quote it that way.
Really?
I don't think they even realize they're doing it. It doesn't say any such thing. When the sons of God came, this is verse 4, the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them.
Mm-hmm.
Where's these fallen angels at all?
Yep.
Where?
Yep.
The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Hey, David's men are called men of renown.
That's right.
There's nothing about this that's
men of renown doesn't always have to be giant in physical form either.
Verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. He didn't see the wickedness of angels.
That's right.
He didn't see the wickedness of, though they are wicked. He's talking about men.
That's right.
Angels are not even mentioned in the entire chapter 6 of Genesis.
It's the imaginations of the thoughts of men.
Yep. And it repented the Lord. He had made man upon the earth, grieved him in his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy these fallen angels.
Nope.
No, it doesn't say that at all.
Nope.
If they caused this, why isn't God dealing with them?
That's right.
Because they didn't cause this. I will destroy man whom I have created. All right, so.
If they had anything to do with it, it had to do with the fact of their impressions and their spiritual dealings in the background.
Right.
That had nothing
influence
to do with the physical.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like we have the same thing in fallen angelic world today.
Yeah.
And the influence that they have on when you look at these people riding and all the things that they're doing out there today, you can't help but understand. That's demonically
motivated. Now, let me make a controversial statement, Doc. Let's just go ahead and get it all out.
Oh, you're pretty good at that.
Let's see what you got to say about it. Nobody watching our program today, nobody. Nobody 100 years ago, nobody 2,000 years ago, nobody 4,000, nobody has seen a fallen angel in physical form. Am
That's
I right.
right
or not?
You're right. No. You're not going to.
Find it in the Bible. I challenge people. Find me a place in the Bible where somebody encountered a fallen angel physically. Never happened. Yet we've got, these guys have pictures on their websites. They've got pictures of Nephilim.
Yeah.
No, they've watched too much sci-fi. They've watched too many TV programs and Star Wars, and I'm not against watching sci-fi as long as you understand it's fiction.
Well, I always say, Dan, when we deal with this subject, my thought is this. If you took an individual who's never been influenced by anybody's book or anybody's anything, and you gave them, they've been saved, and you gave them this portion to read, not a single one of them would have the slightest idea that angels are involved in this.
Yep.
Because if they read this without any clouded background in their life, they would see it and say, well, it's talking about man, talking about man's imagination, talking about man's sin. They'd never read a thing in there and assume what people are assuming and then asserting their assumptions in as facts.
Now, John chapter 1, verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the
sons of God.
Not angels, not Nephilim, not fallen angels, sons of God.
In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, he said, at any time has God ever called an angel his son?
Yeah, and he never has, and he never will.
Here's the thing, and we just struck on a principle that if people would follow it, you got to let your Bible be its own dictionary and its own commentary and realize nothing is going to contradict anything else.
Yeah.
And so when it says that it's born-again people that have a relationship with God that are called the sons of God, how in the world can you flip that? No, you can't.
And here's what they do, Doc, and you know this is true. Here, they'll tell me, oh, but in the Old Testament, sons of God are angels.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's not true.
That's not true. Either this is all the Word of God between these covers, or it's not.
It's all English. It isn't and like because not, they translated from Hebrew to English that's different than Greek to English. And a door is a door is a door, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. I joke about that. A door is a door is a door.
That's exactly right.
An angel is an angel is an angel. A son of God is a son of God is a son of God.
But then they'll come along and they'll say, Dan, but it says these fallen angels left their first estate.
Yeah. They get booted out of heaven.
And you know something? I left my first estate when I got married because I left the address in Southern Illinois and ended up out in Abilene, Texas.
Yeah.
That's the estate he's talking about. He's not talking about the fact that a fallen angel all of a sudden developed the ability to have relations physically with humanity. That's not what it's talking about at all.
Doc, in the book here, chapter 18, I think it is, I have a chapter called 11 verses that use the phrase the sons of God. Plural, sons, not the son of God, the sons
That's
of God.
Right.
Only 11 times in the Bible is that phrase used. The first mention is Genesis 6.
That's right.
That sets the precedent. What does the word mean? You look at every place, in fact, in 10 of the places, it's a redeemed person.
So that tells you, because the law of first mention, whatever it's used for as a first mention, it's always throughout the rest of the Bible that way. If throughout all the rest of the Bible is talking about righteous people, then that's what it's talking about in the beginning.
Now, I know what some of the audience, some of the naysayers are going to say. They're going to say, well, Brother Gooden, they're obviously angels because before creation, in Job chapter 38, the sons of God were there. Well, that's the one place of the 11 verses that it's something different.
That's metaphorical.
It's metaphor.
That's right.
And if you understand English literature, you would understand that if you're using metaphor, the whole passage has got to be metaphor.
Well, that's because
if you mix literal with metaphor, the reader will never figure it out.
Well, let's help folks understand this. In the book of Job, he's going to talk about the moon and its light. And so you got a group out there that's going to say, see, there it is. The moon's got its own light.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand the use of a metaphor versus something that is literal.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Now, in Job chapter 1, in Job chapter 2, I realize there's a lot of differing views here because we've all been taught something.
Yes.
I was taught this all my life that Job 1 is somewhere where angels met with God, and it's just not true. I believe the sons of God in Job.
It doesn't say that. It said they showed up.
There was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before God, and Satan came also among them.
Yes.
And Satan's going to ask God, God's going to address Satan. And he's going to say, what are you doing? Oh, I've been going to and fro in all the earth.
Yeah.
Right away, you understand something. They're not on the earth. Why would he say, I've been going to and fro in all the earth? It's like he's talking about another place.
That's exactly
he
right.
He is talking about another
he
place.
He is.
This event, I believe, is paradise. I believe, and I can't prove this, but I believe God met with the saints in paradise from time to time, and I believe that was one of them, Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. That explains the whole thing.
Well, that makes a whole lot more sense than reading into something that is not there.
I also found out, as I was writing this book, I got on the section about angels. I did a section here about angels, and I found that the first mention of angels in the book of Job is not chapter 1, and it's not chapter 2, it's chapter 4. And I got to thinking, if those are angels in chapter 1 and he calls them sons of God, why did he call them angels in chapter 4?
That's right.
God knew the word.
Yeah.
Because they're not angels.
Oh, well.
They're the redeemed in paradise.
Translators must have made a mistake.
And
you're going to get a lot of that out
now,
there.
Do you think that Job is sitting in the corner and they're talking about him in front of him?
No.
And he's sitting over here. Have you considered my servant Job over there? Hey, wave, Job.
No.
Oh, if you took your heads off. No, Job's not there. Job's on the earth.
That's right.
This is paradise, another dimension.
It's at least a different place.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now let's... So 10 places, the sons of God is always redeemed people.
Mm-hmm.
That one that's different is the metaphor.
Right.
And if you read Job 38, you'll find there's a bunch of metaphors.
A lot of metaphors.
It talks about gates holding water back in the ocean. There's no gates in there.
No, but that is also a science because it is the lunar pull of the moon and the tides that does govern that. So it is a metaphor in more than one direction.
I think Job 38 and 39 is the first 4 days of creation, and then later on it goes so past that.
You find it. So to make those a literal application, one time out of the 10 or the 11, to be opposite of what all of the rest is violating the principles of Bible interpretation.
Now, I want to get to the blood, but before we do that, I want you, because you hit it on already when I was reading Genesis 6, I think verse 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. The real reason that God destroyed the earth, or all life, except the 8 souls on the ark, the real reason, share that with the audience.
The Bible says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Never said a word about Satan. No. Never said a word about angels, fallen or not fallen.
But they're going to go over to Matthew 24, and seldom will they go to Luke 17. But Matthew 24, and it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Put up the Noah thing. And I've got a book and a DVD on this subject. Listen, he gave us a key there. He says, as it was, so shall it be. That means, as it is, so it was.
Yeah.
And so, but when you go to the account in Luke, Luke not only said, as it was in the days of Noah, but he said,
Lot as well.
Also, as it was in the days of Lot. And then he ends his discourse there with, remember Lot's wife. And so, this idea that everybody's got that there's a supposed return.
The return of the Nephilim.
Of the Nephilim. Well, there wasn't any to start with, and there's no return of it. God is saying that the imaginations and the thoughts and the wickedness of man's heart will once again be at the same place it was, and it's going to require God to step in once again as he stepped in judgment before.
Yeah. And it says that in those days, in the days of Noah, men, they were eating and drinking.
Yes.
Marrying and giving in marriage. In other words,
life was going on, but as a result of the degeneration of the sinful nature, they were getting more and more wicked and more of their imaginations evil continually. If you haven't figured that out in the world you're living in today, you must have your
head
in the
sand. And that's what's happening.
We're getting further from God.
He's not in our not in our minds, our imaginations.
There was a report just the other day that came out from a Barna report. We talked about it just a show or two back. And only 4% of all the people in the world think they can trust a preacher.
Yeah.
And only about 25 or 6% of the people in the pews trust their preachers. I'm here to tell you, we are fast coming to
the
days
of Noah.
Noah again.
It's got nothing to do with fallen angels. That's not even in the context.
The only involvement of fallen angels is their influence on the seed of Satan, which is lost people.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to give you one of the greatest proofs of what we're talking about here, why Genesis 6 cannot in any way possibly be angels having babies with human women. Let me read this for you. This is The Life of the Flesh is in the Blood. This is M.R. DeHaan, one of my favorite old-timers, who was a preacher and a medical doctor.
Yes.
As well as a wonderful prophecy writer, and I would recommend his book. Now, he wasn't King James. But he's got some good stuff. He died in 1965. I was a five-year-old young boy at that time. And here's an excerpt from his book, The Chemistry of the Blood. And I have this book, and I've read this book. It is not this, boy, he makes some great statements here, Doc. It is not Eve's blood which flows in the veins of mankind. It is Adam's blood.
That's right.
That is why it is Adam's sin and not Eve's sin which all men inherit. He's exactly right. Exactly. We talked about this the other day. Sin is in the blood and transmitted in the blood of man and in the flesh. Since the life is in the blood, according to the scriptures, and the wages of sin is death, sin affected the blood of Adam and caused him to where he would die. Because sin is a disease of the blood, it can be cured. It can be cured by the application of sinless blood. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. He's talking about God's blood.
Yes.
As the first Adam's sin corrupted the blood of the entire human family, so the pure, sinless blood of the last Adam, Jesus, makes atonement for the sin of the world. Mm-hmm. Now, here he goes again. It was not Eve's sin which affects us, although Eve sinned before Adam did. It was the sin of Adam which brought death upon the whole race, because it is Adam's blood that transmits sin to the next generation.
That's right. Because the seed is the man's seed.
That's right.
And it's in his blood.
We're not saying Eve didn't sin. He didn't say. He no. said that Eve sinned.
Yeah.
In fact, she probably sinned before. But Adam had to sin, or the human race would have gone on through Adam another woman. God would have made another woman.
It's possible, or whatever.
Adam died. I believe he ate the fruit willfully, knowing it was wrong.
Well, the Bible said he willfully partook.
I believe he did it to save his wife. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus is called the second Adam. Mm-hmm. Second Adam in the song there.
Yes.
So let's look at something here about the blood. Where does the blood of the baby come? This is so important. And I shared this with somebody recently, and they never heard anything like it in their life. The blood of the baby comes from the seed of the man.
That's right.
That's why you can grow a baby in a test tube without the mother.
Because they are developing the supposed
If the blood came from the mother, how could you create that? You grow that baby in the test tube without the mother?
Exactly right.
Well, this medical doctor, DeHaan, he knew this. And by the way, that explains the virgin birth. The blood of Jesus did not come from
That's
Mary.
That's right. That's why it was divine blood.
Acts 20:28.
Yes.
The church which he has purchased with his own blood. The blood in the veins of Jesus was sinless blood.
Amen.
If it was Mary's blood, it came from Adam's race.
That's right.
And we're all doomed.
That's
Christ
right.
would have been
Exactly
a
right.
So, the point of all this is this. If the blood does not come from the woman, it comes from the Father, the seed of the Father, then if angels somehow cohabited with women and reproduced and had babies, where'd the blood come from?
That's right. Not only that, because angels don't have blood, they're spirit beings. But God established a law on day number 3 of creation that everything reproduces after its
own kind. Yeah.
And the angels are not of humankind.
And a dog and a horse cannot reproduce.
No.
A man and a monkey cannot reproduce.
No.
A horse and a cow can't reproduce. And a man cannot reproduce with any animal.
No. It's just, there is no, quit listening to folks who twist scripture.
You know what I heard
one
day?
To make it work.
A preacher said, we were talking to a preacher And I said, well, angels don't reproduce. But these are fallen angels, he said.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like when they left their first estate, that means they left their spiritual realm and became a physical entity.
And that's ridiculous.
No, they no longer have an estate in heaven.
Right. I mean, I don't. So they got more superpowers when they fell from heaven? You got to be kidding me. No.
Right.
Ephesians 6, you said it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
Why are we ignoring that in the Bible?
And the scribes came to Jesus and wanted to know about whose wife's this man going to be in heaven and after she's been married the third time and all this. And then they want to know about angels. And what did Jesus say? He said the angels neither marry nor are given in marriage.
Yeah.
Because like you've already made it plain, I don't know if thou are in your update, but they're sexless.
Right.
They are referred to in the masculine gender, but that doesn't mean that they have the physical ability as a man to reproduce.
God created angels, not during Genesis 1 and 2. No. Outside of our universe, God created the angels. He created them full grown, or whatever you want to call it. There's no such thing as a baby
angel. And it's
angel.
Obvious from studying the scripture that he created them in a set number, a host, and they had their responsibilities and still have those responsibilities in service.
So here's the crux of it. If anybody believes what we just said, the blood comes from the Father.
Yes.
That means the fallen angel has to be able to create.
Yes.
He has to be able to create a seed with blood in it.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, Satan cannot create a blade of grass in my front yard. He's not a creator. God is the creator.
Yes.
God didn't give power to create to anybody else.
Absolutely.
Certainly not man. Now, when you invent something, you're not creating. You're taking what's already here and,
yes,
and making something out of it. Angels can't create.
No.
Neither fallen nor Gabriel, nobody.
Absolutely not.
Satan and his angels, they're counterfeiters.
Now, let's think for a moment. If all of the angels had that ability, do you not think that when Moses was being used of God for these miracles with the rod and the staff that he had, when it came time for the dust of the ground to become living lights, that's whenever the soothsayers
couldn't do it. Because they can't create.
Now, the devil can because on a day before or so, Moses had called all the frogs out of the water. Where did they get it the next day, all the frogs? The devil cannot create, but he no doubt has the ability to accelerate God's program in biology. But he cannot create. And so if he cannot create, knowing that through this nation that was coming is going to be a Messiah that's going to crush his head, according to Genesis 3:15, why in the world would he not have put a stop to it?
And then,
he couldn't.
Yeah.
He couldn't create.
And in Genesis 3:15, everybody says, well, it says that Satan has a seed.
Oh.
His seed is his lost followers.
It's the lost.
Just as a woman. He says the woman's seed.
That's why Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil.
Yeah. Because the same verse says the seed of the woman. Does a woman have a seed? Of course not.
No, it comes from the father.
So he's using these
and
terms.
And the blood of the woman never touches the baby.
Right. Yeah.
So and God has so designed it in such a way.
So this is a distraction, folks. This is
exactly.
A huge distraction in
it
Christianity.
Is.
And now with this UFO stuff coming out with President Trump releasing all the more stuff, you're going to see all kinds of crazy stuff, even from our... And in our prophecy networks, our prophecy preachers ought to know better. First of all, you ought to get a King James Bible and quit reading your Greek manuscripts and your Greek this and your Hebrew this. Get a King James Bible and understand the words of that Bible. And all right, closing thought, Doc, you know, what is this?
Well, the number one thing, you make sure you're saved. And then after that, do everything you can to get your family and friends saved, because one of these days it's going to wrap up and we're getting close to it.
Yeah, we're getting out of here. We appreciate all of you that pray for us here. And if you like this kind of stuff, if you enjoyed today, consider partnering with us. We need your help to stay on to get on some more networks and to stay on the ones we're on. It's all done by the gifts of God's people, just
Amen.
Like you. And we'd love to hear from you. Love to get an email from you, a phone call, a text message. We love to communicate with you, and we love to talk to you about partnering with us. Well, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.